God, thank you so much, Lord, for this amazing day. God, look at how many people, God, you've brought here today, God. Over 100 people here, God, who are ready to hear, God. I hope they're ready to hear, God, because we know that they're here to hear from you, Lord. So, God, we give you our attention and our worship when it comes to this message, God. We pray that you would just lay upon our hearts the things in our lives that we are lacking, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So, when last we left you guys on our what we're talking about right now, Joseph wasn't looking very good, you guys. Things weren't looking good for Joseph. And if you weren't there, let me give you a little synopsis, okay? Joseph, the son, perfect, buddy. It's Joseph, the son of Jacob, he's like the favorite son of Jacob, right? And he gets all this special stuff. He's got special clothes, and he's always just like the special guy, and everybody loves him more than all the other brothers. So the brothers start to finally get really mad that their dad likes Joseph, and Joseph's like the perfect guy, and they're just fed up with it. So one day, Joseph goes to look for his brothers, and they see him coming, and they're like, hey, look at this guy. Hey, look at this loser. Let's kill him. Let's do something. So they decide they're going to kill him, and they cast him into this pit. And then while they're in the pit, they're having lunch, right? It's funny, right? They're like about to kill their brother and they're hanging out and eating, which is real nice. But right before they're about to do this, they're like, hey, instead of killing him, let's sell him. Oh, dude, then we can at least have some money. You know what I mean? Like, what good is it if we kill him? At least we'll have a couple bucks to go to Wendy's later or something, you know, to do something fun like that if we sell him. So they sell him and they get 30 pieces of silver and they send Joseph to Egypt. So when we left, Joseph was a slave on his way to Egypt, like the worst place you'd ever pretty much want to be a slave, right? Pretty much the worst thing ever. But how many of you guys have ever given up on something halfway? You guys ever given up on something halfway? I'll be the first to say it. Sometimes I go through like a book, you know what I mean? And or I'm watching a movie and I'm like, dude, this is so predictable. I'm so not even going to watch the end of this. Well, this one's not predictable. This is a really good one. This is one we don't want to switch off halfway through. You know what I mean? Because I know what it's like to finish halfway through. Like, I'll always start two books before I finish them. Like, everyone's always like, hey, do you like to read? I was like, oh yeah, I'm currently reading about 9 books halfway through. You know what I mean? I can never finish a book all the way. But we didn't stop last week, you guys, in this story. Because if we did, we didn't want to give up halfway. And it would have looked like, if we did give up, it would have been like, where's God? Because the last story we saw, you guys, didn't mention anything about God protecting Joseph. It was like, dude, look at Joseph. He's a pretty good guy. He follows the Lord. Where is God in all of this story? They never even mention him. But we're going to stay to the very end. And we're going to see how if we are faithful, just like Joseph, to the very end of a problem, that it will show that God was with us that all the time, the whole time we were in that. Have you guys ever heard of that old poem called Footprints? Anybody? It's an old thing from like 1937. That's kind of what this is about. And what it is, it basically talks about this lady and she's like, hey, you know what? She's looking back at all these memories she had in her life and she's like comparing them to footprints. And she's like, hey, how come every time I was in a problem, instead of having 2 footprints side by side, there was only one? Like, what's the deal with that, you know? And he would say, because during the hard times, I carried you. So you weren't even walking. I was carrying you through these things. And that would be the same thing for Joseph. God was indeed carrying him through all of these things. So, you know, sometimes you guys, we just need to stay calm during a storm, during all these problems that are going on. We just need to stay calm. I don't know if you guys like, you guys remember Hurricane Katrina? I mean, it was like, you should. It was like the biggest hurricane pretty much in a long, long time, right? But check this out. This was like the funny thing. I was looking up pictures of Hurricane Katrina, and all over the place were these pictures of these dogs and these cats and these animals, and they're just like chilling out on the roof. And they're like not even doing anything. They don't even know it's like a hurricane. They're not worried about it. They're not like panting back and forth like all worried. This big old dog's taking a nap during the storm. You know what I mean? Like the water level's rising. This guy's about to get like, you know, he's about to drown this dog and he's just chill during the storm. It's all good. And that's what we need to be, you guys. Sometimes when the water level's rising and we're like, oh no, I'm freaked out and what's going to happen? We need to be like that dog and be like, it's cool. Rescue's on its way. I know it's going to be coming. So luckily we're going to have the story on the board today, you guys, because there's going to be a lot of reading. But it's good that we're going to have a lot of reading because it's a great story and I want you guys to come along with me. So we'll have all the verses on the board, but I encourage you to follow along with me. It'll be in Genesis 39. Today we're going to look at 3 points, you guys. God knows people. God helps us in our temptation, and God gives us gifts. Those are the three things that we are going to be looking at today. So the first thing we're going to start off with is called God Knows People. And we're going to be reading Genesis 39, 1 through 6. I never mark my Bible. I'm always getting there with you guys. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in his house, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in the sight and served him. And then he made him overseer of the house and all he had put under his authority. So it was from that time that he was made overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was on that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Have you ever guys known somebody who knows people? He's like that guy who knows people. You know what I mean? He knows a lot of things. Well, if you don't, you know God. And God knows everybody. And God's amazing. God can change everybody's perspective of you. He can change everybody's perspective. God can do whatever he wants should he choose to intervene. He can do those things. I had a friend like this in high school, dude. He was like that guy that everybody knew, and he knew everybody. Like, it was like everybody's mutual friend. And no matter who you were, if you're like an athlete or like, you know, you were into doing other things, like he was friends with everybody, you know. He was friends with the skaters, the smart people, the everybody. He was friends with everybody. He was just that guy, and he always knew how to get stuff. I had a guy like this in high school. His name was Aaron. And he's pretty funny because, like, I'd be like, hey, Aaron, dude, you got that new edition of that, you know, Nintendo game? Because, dude, Nintendo, all right, guys? I'm old school, all right? I don't kick it, like, PS3 style or anything like that. So, but I'd be like, Aaron, can you get me, like, you know, Super Mario Kart, bro? And he'd be like, oh yeah, no worries. I got a friend who can get it on a discount. Oh, sweet. Hey, Aaron, dude, you know where I could get, like, some food, you know, something not in the cafeteria? Oh, yeah, dude, I'll get you something. No worries. I was like, who is this guy? And how does he know how to get these things? But God's like that. And God can have you find favor in everybody's sight. And just for obeying God, not only will you guys be blessed, but it says that your friends could possibly be blessed. Everyone around you, just because you live for God. Yes, you and your friends can be blessed by God, can find favor with people just because maybe you personally follow the Lord. This is what happened to Joseph. Throughout all his troubles, you guys, everything he had going on, he stayed super faithful to the Lord. He never doubted God in everything that he was doing. He wasn't ever like, hey, God, dude, where are you? We never read about that. He never said, God, you bailed, you didn't, you left me here stranded. He never said that. He never said that because he knew what God's character was like. And God's character is someone to rescue his people. You see, you guys, there's so much to know about God. He's gigantic that you can't possibly know every single thing that you want to know about God. Not even in this lifetime, if you spent every single day, could you know everything about him, because he is so huge. He's so vast. But the things you do know, the things you don't know, don't let them scare you from the things you do know already, right? So say you have a friend and say you have a fight with that friend and you're thinking, I wonder what God has to say about fighting with a friend. Now, I can't think of any direct quote from the Bible, but let me think about what I do know about God. Okay, God is loving. God is merciful. God is forgiving. Well, those are pretty simple things to remember. And you can say, okay, so then with this situation that I'm fighting with my friend, I know that I should probably forgive them or ask for forgiveness. I know that I should love them or be loved by them. Those simple things we know about God's character, we can apply to many things in our lives, you guys. And that's what Joseph did. He wasn't afraid, like, he wasn't like, God, where did you go? He was like, I know God's the type of God who's a rescuer, who comes after his people. So that's the great thing. So Joseph was faithful. And look what God does because Joseph was faithful. Verse 5. So it was that the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he held, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the Lord's blessing was on all. That's awesome. Just because Joseph had found favor with the Lord, God also blessed his master, this Egyptian guy, who didn't even believe in God. That's pretty sweet. How cool that is God. This speaks so much of God's grace, you guys. This speaks so much of God's grace. You want to know why? Because God can see the future. And not too far down the road, the Israelites are going to be in captivity with those Egyptians. How merciful is God to say, you know what? These people are going to oppress my people, but I'm so gracious and loving that I'm not even going to think about that. I'm going to bless this guy just because Joseph is such an amazing guy. You know what I mean? That's like the coolest thing that he does that. God is like, dude, Joseph, you love me a lot, man, and therefore I'm going to bless you and everybody in your household. That's so cool how gracious God is. God showed a blessing on all these people, even when these people didn't deserve it, just for Joseph's sake. So remember, you guys, being faithful to the Lord means you will be definitely blessed, and you don't even know the people who are hanging out with you that just might be blessed for your sake, you guys. It's so cool. But how cool is it that just by following God, your friends may be having a better day, you guys, right? That's cool to be able to affect your friends and be like, hey, dude, you having a good day? And they're like, yeah, I am. And you're like, cool, maybe that's because I'm following the Lord really hard, that God really did that, you know? You see, you guys, God knows everything, and therefore he can make everything happen. He can change people's decisions, people's desires, people's minds, people's hearts. He can do anything. You may be doing better in school, you guys, just because you follow God. God may let you find favor in your teacher's eyes or in your parents' eyes just because you're following closely to God. How cool would that be? You know what I mean? Get a little extra help on that test, you know what I mean? Just for following God. You never know, you guys. That's the things we're seeing here. So it's really cool. But check this out. It can work the other way too. If you guys are not faithful to the Lord, not only will it affect you, it can also affect people that are around you. I don't know if you guys remember the story of Jonah, but let me remind you. God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to go to the city, Nineveh, which is pretty much like the world's nastiest city. And he's like, I'm not going there. So it says Jonah left the presence of God. He was like, I'm out of here. So he gets on this boat and God wants Jonah. He's like, you're going to do this, man. And so what does he do? He casts down the storm on the boat that Jonah's on. And the two guys that are running the boat, they're like, where's this storm coming from? This is a gigantic storm. What's going on? And Jonah's like, dude, it's me. It's me. All right. It's me. Watch. Throw me overboard and the storm will stop. Sure enough, they throw him overboard and the storm stops. And then you know the rest of the story. He gets eaten by the whale, which is amazing, you guys. So you see, just like here, God knows that if you're being faithful, he'll bless you and he'll bless others around us. But if he's unfaithful, you guys, then he just might bring a storm into your life to get your attention. Because it's during those storms that we sure start to pay attention to the Lord because we need his help. The best way to start anything in your guys' life is to ask the Lord to bless it. If you guys are starting school, you're starting summer, you're starting a new class, you're starting anything, a new friendship, you're starting a conversation, no matter what you're doing, you should ask for the Lord's blessing. Because God wants to bless you, and he wants to bless those that are faithful to him. And we're going to see how Joseph, just look what he got. Joseph was supposed to be a slave, now he's been made master over his house, over the household of the guy who bought him. So when that guy's gone, he's the boss. That's pretty cool. Only because God was like, you're so faithful, I'm going to watch out for you in this time, which is so cool, you guys. So ask for God's blessing in the things you're doing. Next point, run from temptation. We're going to read 39:7-23. And it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in the house than I, nor has he kept anything back from me but you, because you are his wife. And then how can I do this great wickedness or this sin against God? So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But then it happened about this time when Joseph went into his house to do work and none of the men were in the house or none of the men was inside that she caught him by his garment and said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and he fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside that she called to the men of her household and spoke to them saying, "See, he has brought us in a Hebrew to mock us. He came to me to lie with me and cried out with a loud voice. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. And then she spoke with him with the words saying that the Hebrew servant whom you have brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard these words, which his wife had spoken to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner, of manner that his anger was aroused." Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all of the prisoners who were in prison. Whatever they did, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made prosper. So God helps us under temptation, you guys. So here's what happened, in case you didn't catch that with all the reading, right? So he's like, "You're going to be the guy in charge when I'm gone." So Potiphar, his wife, the master's wife, is like, got a thing for Joseph, right? She's like, "Joseph's looking good. I like Joseph. He's a handsome dude." You know what I mean? It even says in the Bible that Joseph was handsome in appearance. And so she's like, "I like this guy." And so she starts lusting after him, and she wants to have him. And he's like, "No, I won't do it. I won't do it." And so she's like, "Fine, if you won't do it, then whatever." So he's like, she's about to grab him on his cloak, his tunic, you know, and he like is like, "I'm out of here," and he runs, and she grabs it, and so Joseph runs away naked. But he sure ran away, which is a great thing, right, you guys? And so here's what she does. She says, "I'm going to take this garment and tell my husband that he was trying to do something with me." And so his husband's like, "Oh no, he wouldn't do that. I'm taking him right to prison." So he takes him to prison. But it says here that the Lord gave him favor with the guy who's in prison now. And now he's in charge of all the prisoners, which is so cool. So you see, you guys, when you're doing well and you're living for the Lord like Joseph was, Satan always tries to come and make things bad for us. Here's Joseph, a slave, now looking over his master's house. God made him the boss of the house when that guy's gone. And now look who shows up. You guys know who that is. It's always temptation. There's always, the devil always wants to hurt us when we're looking good, when we're feeling on top of things, when God's strong in our relationship with us. Something to remember, you guys, is that when you're always, be watchful when you're living a strong life for God and things are going great. Because when things are going great and you're living strong for God, that usually means that who's really angry about that? The devil is. And he's going to definitely want to kick you off your, you know, of that feeling of like feeling good in the Lord and all that stuff. And he's going to want to take you away from that. He's going to bring a trial into your life. So we need to be watchful for the devil to strike. And the same thing for Joseph. These things are finally better. You know what I mean? He gets sold into slavery. Things are finally looking better for him. Now he's the master over the house when the other guy's gone. And now look what happens. This lady comes in and she wants him to do these things that he doesn't want to do. But he stands up strong in the face of it. I loved it. Even Joseph ran away. Sometimes you have to leave temptation, you guys. Sometimes you have to physically leave. I mean, when she grabbed his garment, he was like, "I don't care. I will walk home in shame being naked, but I will not sin against the Lord." And that's what he says, which is the great thing. He says, "How can I do such sin against God? How could I do that?" And if you guys remember on Wednesday, we talked about how sometimes you have to physically leave your location so you don't sin. Sometimes you have to leave that place if you know you're going to sin there. If you're at the pool and you're lusting, or if you go somewhere else and that causes you to sin, or you're with a person who causes you to sin, you need to sometimes leave that place or leave that friend or leave those things so that you can stay pure in front of the Lord. You know what I mean? It's like, think about a guy who just got triple bypass surgery, right? He shouldn't be hanging out in like the Twinkie aisle of the store, right? No, right? Of course not. But that's the same thing for us, you guys. It's like we can't be where we're going to be tempted to do what we shouldn't be doing because he is tempted to do what he knows he shouldn't. It's no different for us, you guys. We need to avoid sinning. And we can do that. We can avoid sinning by leaving where we're at, by praying, by getting into our Bible and seeing what God says about it, by doing another godly act, doing whatever it takes to not sin. That's what it's all about, you guys. Something I want to mention, so you guys know this. Temptation is not a sin, you guys. Being tempted is not a sin. It's only when you give in to that desire to want to do it and to do it that you will become a sin. Even Jesus himself was tempted, you guys. Here's Jesus in the desert, and he's starving, right? He's so hungry. And the devil comes by, and he's like, hey, see that stone? You should make that into bread. I bet you're hungry right now, huh? And then you know what he says? You can't live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. How cool is that? Jesus totally rebuked him with scripture. So we can do that too, you guys. So Jesus was tempted himself. Temptation is not a sin. It's only when it becomes an act that we act upon that it becomes a sin, you guys, when we act upon those things. So here's the deal. If you're tempted to say, oh man, I see that iPod right there and nobody's around. I want to grab it. That feeling right there, that's not sin. As soon as you pick that thing up, it just became a sin and now needs forgiveness and you need to ask God for forgiveness of that. So, you guys, but don't worry. You know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says? It's the best thing. It says, "For no temptation has come to you except for what is common to man, and God always provides a way out." So he's saying, dude, you're not tempted more than anybody else. When you guys are tempted to sin, it's the same thing the rest of us are going through. And here's the best news. God always provides a way out for us. He always provides a way off. So it's your job to flee temptation like Joseph did and to always look for that escape route that the Lord has made for you guys because he has always made an escape route for you guys. There's every time there's going to be a way for you to get out of the situation, but you have to look for the situation to get out of it, you guys. You have to look for what God has given you. Remember, you guys, standing up to temptation is a very hard thing. It is, but it's nothing with the power of God. Temptation has no power over us when we ask God to help us with it, you guys. It's so awesome. It's so such a great thing that we can call on the Lord to help us with our temptation. So you guys aren't always going to be perfect, though, all right? You need to remember that. You're not going to always be perfect. So if there comes an instance when you've been tempted and you've sinned, you need to seek forgiveness from the Lord. Because just like Joseph said, how can I do this sin in front of God? And even though you may have treated your friend wrong or your brother and sister wrong, ultimately you've sinned against God. And although you might need to seek forgiveness from that person after, you should always come to the Lord first to ask for his forgiveness, you guys. That's the best thing you should do. Ask for him. I love how Joseph said, how could I do this wickedness in front of God? It just makes it so real that God sees everything that we do, you guys. There's nothing that escapes God's eye. I love it. So Joseph fled this temptation, and the lady ends up turning it around, like I told you, and ends up saying that it was him who was trying to seduce her when it's just clearly not true. But sometimes things seem real hard, you guys, but these situations are good. They're good for our growth, you guys. So check this out. So Joseph... his master gets all angry, and he's like, you're going to jail. So he puts him in jail, and then let's read verse 21, and I'm going to read verse 21 and 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. So Joseph did what was right, even in prison. You guys, God never left him. Even in prison, you guys. And it was all part of God's plans. Sometimes things seem so crazy. You're like, really? I was just on top and now I'm in jail like Joseph? But you never read him say, God, what are you doing? Why am I back in jail? Why am I back a slave? What is going on here? He never says that, you guys. It's such a great thing. And you know what those things are, you guys? Sometimes those are great times to prove your faithfulness to the Lord, you guys. It's a great thing. Imagine if I told you that I was a skateboarder and you're like, all right. I'm like, yeah, I'm awesome at it. Dude, I'm really, really good at it. And I kept talking about it. I'm so good about it. Eventually you'd be like, hey, let's see you skate. I want to see you prove yourself. And I would either have to go show you guys and prove that I am as good as I say I am, or I better stop saying that I'm a skater, right? And that's the same thing here, you guys. Sometimes when we're in tough situations, it's time to prove who we are. It's time to prove who we say we are. And if we say we're Christians, then we better start proving who we are. We better start relying on the Lord in these tough situations. So Joseph meets these other guys in jail, you guys, who also made Pharaoh angry, and that's why they're in jail. And that's going to bring us to our next point, which is God gives us gifts. We're going to be reading 40. Just follow along with there because it's kind of gets crazy here in a second. So 41 through 2, and then I'm going to read 2 through 5. It came to pass that after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord and the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with the two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. Down to verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night and each man's dream with his own interpretation. Over to I'm going to actually keep going. And Joseph came down to them in the morning and said, "Look," and looked at them and said, and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, "Hey, why do you guys look so sad?" And then they said to him, "We have each had a dream, and there's no one to interpret it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said, "Behold, it was a dream. A vine was before me, and the vine, there were three branches. And it was though it budded, it blossomed, it shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Now within these 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore to your place, and you will be put in Pharaoh's, you will be put Pharaoh's cup in the hand according to the former manner in which you were the butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention to Pharaoh and get me out of this house." All right, I'm going to 20 to 23. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he had made a feast for all his servants, and he had lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, and Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, forgot him. So here's the deal. So Joseph's in jail, and he's like, meets these two guys who are looking all bummed out. He's like, "What are you guys so sad about?" And they're like, "We have these dreams, and nobody can tell us about it." And he's like, "Dude, God knows how to interpret those things. So let me hear them, and God will tell me what they are." So here's the deal. One of them says, "I got this thing, and I'm squeezing the grapes into Pharaoh's cup." And he's like, "Oh, cool, I know what that is. In 3 days, you'll be restored to your job as butler." And he's like, "Really? Oh, great." And he's like, "But hey, when you get back restored, remember how much I did for you." And then the second guy is the baker. We didn't read about it, but I'll tell you. And he says, "Hey, I have this other dream where I was carrying all these loaves of bread on my head, and then a bunch of birds came and ate them out of my head, like off of my head." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I know that one too. In 3 days, Pharaoh's going to cut your head off." And the guy's like, "What? Oh, what? Oh, my." And so he's like, and I love how it doesn't say like the guy was sad. The guy's like, "Okay." You know what I mean? He's not like, "What? I'm going to get, oh, that doesn't sound fun at all." You know what I mean? So that's what's going on right now. So then the guy, so sure enough, Pharaoh does it. Sure enough, the dream comes true. Sure enough, that's how it is. How many of you guys have ever gotten a gift that you never really wanted? You guys ever gotten a gift that you're like, oh, it's like Christmas morning and you're like, oh yeah, it's Christmas morning. I hope I got that thing I asked for. Oh, socks. Thanks, Mom. These are great. This isn't a PlayStation. Dang it. You know what I mean? Well, each of us, you guys, has gotten a gift from God. Each one of us has gotten a gift. And Joseph's gift just happened to be that he was able to interpret dreams, you guys. That was the gift that God gave him, which is super cool. Don't you guys wish that was your gift that God gave you? Like your friends came by and they're all, hey, tell me this dream. And you're like, oh yeah, tomorrow you're going to totally get an A on your test and your mom's going to bring you some sweet food. And you're like, yes, you know what I mean? That would be such a great thing to have. But I did all this stuff, you guys. I was like looking up dream interpretation, and I was like, because I wanted to see what it was all about and see what I could do. You want to know what I found out about dream interpretation? I found out that just for just $2.99 per minute, I could have a professional interpret my dreams for me. And I was like, what? Oh, this is scary. I want to get off of here. And then I looked into the, well, what about a free dream interpretation? So they had like this huge chart that you could like base your dreams off of. And it was like the same thing for everybody. So if you've ever had a dream of like falling, it's like, oh, you're going to come into financial trouble. You're like, every single one of us that has had that dream, it's so silly. It's so crazy. You know what I mean? That like people actually buy into this stuff. But this was real, you guys. That was lame. But these interpretations were real, you guys. God gave these to Joseph. He totally gave this gift to Joseph. And these are from God. Because even Joseph himself said, don't interpretations belong to God? So obviously he's saying this is a God thing. This is a gift from God. So this gift that God gave Joseph was not something that we can all have, you guys. But God has given each one of us a gift, you guys, and we should be able to use it. We should be able to use our gift. We should want to use our gift. I mean, what good is it, you guys, if somebody gives us a gift and we never open it and we never see what's inside of it and we never use it? Getting married is cool. I just got married a month ago now, and it's cool because you get a bunch of gifts. But could you imagine, you guys, like, what if Lisa and I, my wife, like, we just got all those gifts and we left them in the corner? And like, we just left them there and we never used them or anything. And imagine if like we're sitting there trying to eat like pasta with our hands and we're like, oh, and she's like, why are you using your hands? I'm like, because I wish we had some silverware. And she's like, oh, well, we probably got some for our wedding. I know, but I don't want to open up the gifts. But that's what it's like with God, you guys. We have to open up the box. We have to open up our gifts and see what God has given us. Or else we're going through life without all the proper things we could be using. It's like that. It's like using your hands when you could be using a fork. It sure is a lot cleaner, even though you guys would probably rather use your hands. But you know what I mean? But it's so much easier to use a fork, right? So we need to figure out what our gifts are so that we can use them to serve God. If Joseph never used his gift, you guys, guess what? He would have died of starvation. Because we're going to see in a little bit that if Joseph had never gotten this dream and his brothers had never wanted to, because he had a dream beforehand where his brothers were bowing down to him. If he never had shown that dream to his brothers, they would have never gotten so mad, sold him into slavery, and then he would have never interpreted Pharaoh's dream, which we're going to see in a little bit, and then he would have never saved him and his family from a famine that's coming that way. So Joseph had to use his gift, and in turn for using his gift, it saved his life and it changed his whole life. And the gift that you guys have been given by God can change your entire life too. The definition of a spiritual gift, you guys, is a great thing. It says that it's a gift that is used, that's given to you from the Holy Spirit, that is used by each believer to minister to the needs of the body of believers. So you have this gift, you guys, that maybe everybody doesn't have. You may only have this special gift and the other person might not have it. You know what I mean? You guys have all this special stuff that not every single person is given. God has given you a specific thing because you have something specific to do in your lives. Like maybe you're a good encourager. Maybe that's your gift. Maybe you're like, you see your buddy and he's down and he's sad and you're the guy who's like, hey man, what's wrong, dude? Oh man, don't worry about it, dude. God's with you and it's all good. And it's all love, dude. Don't even worry about it. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of thing that you could be doing. Or say maybe you're a great musician, you guys. Maybe you want to use your talents to glorify the Lord. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can play an instrument. Not everybody can do these things. But you could do them to minister to the body of believers, you guys. It's a great thing. Or guess what? Maybe you guys have no idea what your gift is from God. Maybe you guys have no idea what gift you've been given to God by God. And here's what you can do, you guys. You can try things out. That's the best thing you can do, you guys. Have you ever had multiple people tell you you're good at something? Like anybody's like, hey, dude, you're pretty good at this. Or, hey, you're a pretty good listener. Or, hey, you're a good public speaker. You should be listening to these things and being like, oh, that's a cool thing. I should think about that. You know what I mean? And then see what it says. You know what the Bible says? It says you have to fan into flames your guys' gift. That means once you've found it out, you got to get it going. It just doesn't, it's not like you're automatically one day just going to be like amazing guitar player. It means no, you might have some good talent that God has given you to learn and to get started on that, but then you have to fan it into flames. You guys know what it's like. Who's been camping and started a fire? You guys been camping and started a fire? You got to get a little bit of tinder right there and get it going and then slowly add pieces and pieces and pieces until it's a big, huge fire, right? Well, that's exactly what your gift from the Lord is, you guys. You have this little tiny gift, and you need to keep adding wood onto it. And how do you do that? By practicing, by looking into it, by trying things. You're never going to know if you're a great musician if you don't try. You're never going to know if you're a great encourager if you never encourage anybody. But you have to get out there and test the waters and see exactly what your gift is that God has given you. God hasn't perfected your gift, you guys, but he has given you something to start for and to strive for, which is a great thing. Because you guys, like we said, you don't just start a bonfire. You have to put wood and wood and wood on top of it. The same thing is for me, you guys. Every single week, I learn and try to teach better. It's not something I was born to do. It's not something that I've never public speaked in my entire life, you guys, since I came here to Velocity. I've never done it. But people have said, hey, you're pretty decent at it already. So I run with it, and I ask God to bless it, and I pray about it, and I work on everything I possibly can to do it. And that's how it gets better and better every single time, you guys, and that's exactly here. And check this out. God uses your gifts in a big way in your life. I mean, look what he did with Joseph in his life with his gifts. I'm only going to read a little bit, you guys, because we're short for time. So I'll just actually tell you it. So check this out, you guys. Pharaoh has this dream as well. And none of Pharaoh's guys, he's got all these magicians and weirdos that hang out with him, you know, and none of them can interpret the dream. And so the guy, the butler who didn't get his head chopped off, the guy who got his job back, he's like, oh, I met this guy in jail once. He was a really good interpreter of dreams. And he's like, get me right now. Get this guy right now. So he comes up here and Pharaoh tells him his dream, and it's this crazy dream. He says, it's two dreams actually. He says, hey, I saw this vision of these seven cows, and these were like really nice looking cows. These were like good looking cows, you know what I mean? And then this nasty old skinny cow that's all like dead and weird looking came up and ate the seven cows. And then he had another one with grain. He said, I had seven stalks of grain that were beautiful. And then this nasty stalk of wheat came and ate the other ones. And so he interpreted the dream and he said, oh, hey, in a couple of years, you're going to have a famine. And so you should start saving now. So by the way, that's what you should be doing about it. You know what I mean? Pharaoh was like, oh my goodness, I'm so excited about that. That's so awesome that you told me that. I want you now to be second in command in all of Egypt. He wants Joseph to be that. So awesome, you guys. Joseph has gone from a shepherd to a slave. And then he went into in charge of his master's house. And then he went into prison where he was a prisoner. And then now he was the head of the prisoners. And now he's second in command in Egypt, which is like the superpower of the entire world. And the story's not even over yet. There's still so much more going on here. So you see, you guys, God's going to use you in your life to do crazy things for people that you never thought you would do them for. Like, here's Joseph interpreting dreams. He never thought that he was going to interpret Pharaoh's dream. Dude, that would be like if the president called you guys up and was like, hey, dude, I hear you're a pretty good prayer, dude. Would you come pray with me? You're all, this is the president? Like, what, are you kidding me? Or if he's like, hey, you're a pretty good encourager, and I'm feeling down. Will you come pick me up? You're like, don't you have anybody else to do this? And that's how Joseph must be feeling, you guys, because he's like out of this world. Like, dude, this is like the president calling me up and asking me to do something for him. How awesome is that? But just like it said, it's your gift, the definition, you guys, that's your gift to serve the bodies of believers. And we're going to see next week how this gift that Joseph had served other believers, you guys. He served his family. It served himself because they would now escape the famine just because of this gift he had of interpreting dreams. It's so cool. If Joseph never made it to Egypt, you guys, he would have never been alive still, you guys. He would have never made it, nor his family. So last week, you guys, we said that we're gonna go over this and we're going to read the text and we're going to see that the Lord was with him. Last week, we didn't see any of those words like God was with you, the Lord was with him. But today, through the text we saw today, we saw that the Lord was with him. The Lord helped him find favor in his sight. The Lord was with him the entire time, doing all these great things with him. The Lord was with him the whole time. And this is the same promise that you guys have. The Lord is with you at all times. I love how faithful God is. That he is with us at all times. And it just seems like when things are going horribly wrong, like it seemed like for Joseph, he's right there to remind us, hey, I'm with you and I will be with you and I'll find mercy on you. You guys, check this out. God didn't help Joseph out because God loved Joseph more. No, God loves you and me just as much as he loves Joseph. You want to know what the difference was? It was how much Joseph loved God. That was the difference, you guys. That's why he was helped out. That's why God did so much for him. God has equal love for you who are strong believers, equal love for people who don't even know him. He loves you that much. The difference of God's help and God's power in your life is how you feel about God and how much you love him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day, Lord. God, thank you for being so faithful to us, God. We see your faithfulness every day, God. God, there's nothing, not a great day, not a bad day, God. Just like that song, God. In the good times and in the bad, you're on your throne, you're God. Nothing phases you, God. Nothing's too big for you, nothing's too small for you, God. You want it to be faithful to you and bring everything to you, God, so that you can be with us, Father. I just pray that you just remember these things, God, to us, that we would be able to call upon them when we need them, Lord. Thank you so much. In your name we pray, amen. Hey, you guys, remember, if you need any prayer or anything, fill out a prayer request, or there's leaders, and we want to pray with you guys. But God bless you guys. And next Saturday, don't forget, we're having the party.